we're about here is remembering our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. Because when he gave this instruction of partaking of the Lord's table, the instruction he gave was, this do until he come again. That's the wonderful thing about who we celebrate here. He's not a martyr who died for a good cause, and now we're following a martyr like so many in religion do, whenever that's founded on a mere man. But what we're about here is remembering none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that in the fullness of the time, God the Father sent into this world, and he was made of a woman. It was not of Adam's seed. That could not be, else he would have been a sinner. He is that seed of the woman that was foretold all the way back there in the fall, when the Lord realized the Father was the first one to preach the gospel in scriptures. If you say, when was the gospel first preached? Go back to the fall. It's when God said that the seed of the serpent would crush his heel, but he would crush the serpent's head. Where is the venom in a snake? I know some people are afraid when they see the tail of the snake doing this, but that tail won't hurt you. I know it can make some noise if it's a rattler, but what you're afraid of is the head, the venom. So when the scriptures say that Christ crushed the head of the seed of the serpent, that means he dealt that death blow. That condemnation that was ours as his people, he took, he bore. And so his death was the satisfaction, just like we saw with the ram of consecration. There was a ram that was completely burnt up in the inward parts. That was to God's satisfaction. But oh, the blessing now of that part that is the portion of the priests, in other words, those that he's made to be a kingdom of priests, to be able to partake and eat. And this that we hold in our hands, the bread and the cup, is a picture, every bit as much as in the Old Testament, those sacrifices were a picture of Christ and his death and burial and resurrection. So this is a picture that we hold in our hands. The bread, it's unleavened. Why every detail is important? Well, because it pertains to Christ. I've heard some say, you can just go down there and buy a loaf of bread and pass it around. No, it's to be unleavened. And that's who Christ represents, without sin. And then the cup, the wine, which represents his blood shed. Yes, we use wine because it is a medicinal. Wine is used for medicine. It's a cleansing that it has. It's not just to taste good, but it represents the healing that is in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we're about here is what the Lord gave to his disciples on that final night before he was to go to the cross. He fulfilled the Passover meal. You say, where's the lamb? Christ is the lamb. But on that Passover meal, there were also herbs. We don't have herbs today because Christ has paid the debt. The suffering is over. He's not now bearing the sin of his people. It's finished. But there was the bread along with the lamb. The bread was unleavened bread. It was the feast of the unleavened bread. That feast of the Passover was celebrated an entire week with unleavened bread to represent the person of Christ. And then the cup of wine, which we drink. And so that's why I'll just read this portion and then we'll thank the Lord and partake. But in Mark 14, we read, as they did eat, they ate that Passover meal like had been eaten all those years. Jesus took bread, unleavened bread, blessed it. Bless it means to thank God for it and break it. And gave to them. This was all broken off of one bread, but it's representative. Remember what I said in the message, that eating is an individual particular thing. That's why each one has a piece, because it represents who Christ is for his people individually. Yes, there is the entire church, but it's made up of members, individual members, for whom Christ paid the sin debt. And so as we eat this, we do it with thanksgiving. It says he gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." When he said, "This is my body," he's not saying that this becomes his body, but it represents his body. It's a picture of his body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. Judas wasn't there. He'd gone out. You can see that in the context. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man of whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it that that man, if he had not never been born. They thought Judas was going out to pay alms to the poor. But the Lord's saying, no, that one that took that bread and dipped it in the sop with me is that one who is the betrayer. And it's interesting that the Lord did not institute his table until he was gone. This is not for anybody and everybody. But it is for those that the Lord has taught of himself. And they know him to be their satisfaction. And they hunger and thirst after him. And I love what Christ said here in verse 24. He said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." That's why there's two elements. It took the perfect person of the Lord Jesus Christ, represented by the bread, but it also took his shed blood unto death. And that together represents who is our salvation. This is the blood of the New Testament. New in the sense, newly fulfilled. That took all that represented the Old Testament now, and it's wrapped up in him. And it says, which is shed for many. There in the Greek it says, the many. The many that God has chosen. The many for whom Christ has paid the debt. I know we meet in small numbers, but there's a number that Scripture says no man can number. From the beginning of time all the way, who knows, till the end. But that number will be complete. The many that will be there around the throne singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And he says, "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Are we still waiting for him to drink it new in the kingdom of God? No, when he rose again, his kingdom was established. That's where the kingdom was brought into this world, his kingdom. And that's why he went about after his death for 40 days, after Pentecost, after Passover, went about revealing himself unto those for whom he paid the debt, ate and drank with them. Who isn't moved when they read the story there in Luke 24 about when he was on the road to Emmaus with those disciples that didn't recognize him, and they invited him into their home, sit down and eat. Just how he took the bread and broke it, blessed it, their eyes were opened. They saw, this is he. May our eyes be open. This is not just a ritual. Putting this bread to our mouth, drinking this cup, that's not going to give us life. It's who it represents that is our life. And so we do so with joy and rejoicing, thanksgiving. Gracious Father, I thank you for the lessons that we find here in your word, and for the pictures of Christ, Old, New Testament, but even now, the only picture that you have left for us until we'll see him as he is right now in his flesh, it must be by faith. But oh, the joy of being able to behold the Savior face to face, know him for who he is because of his coming, doing, and dying, his shed blood. So as we partake, it is with hearts of joyfulness that we give you the praise and honor and glory. And I thank you for Christ's sake.